broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, now starts. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This is indeed the broadcast for April the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Oh man, I hope you had a delightful weekend full of God, family, and country activities, ladies and gentlemen. For me, it was an incredible Easter weekend. I don't like to use the term Easter, though, because people run around thinking of bunnies and thinking of gifts and thinking of all kinds of worldly things. And a lot of the Easter elements have all kinds of paganism involved. I like to think of it as Resurrection Day, personally. Although I get the understanding of Easter, it's such a popular term, I see why people use it. Nevertheless, I like to focus on greater things than the Easter bunny. Greater things than, hey, how do you get society to spend a bunch of money once again? I like to really think about the reason for the season, if you will. Resurrection Day, ladies and gentlemen, he has risen. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. And I really think that Christian historical worldview really makes the difference. Do you think eternally? Do you look to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you realize that he was able to conquer the bands of death? He led no armies, if you will, but he conquered all, did he not? And as a result, we shall live again. Isn't that an incredible thought, folks? Isn't that a redeeming hope? Wow. Anyway, what a wonderful day. I hope you were to spend time yesterday on the Sabbath contemplating the Savior's life, his leadership, focused on the resurrection. See, I understand that Christ died for us. I get it. And I think that's critically important. Don't misunderstand. But I like to focus on the risen Christ. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. All right, welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing fantastic. Kurt Crosby's with me. Any quick thoughts on Easter, Resurrection Day, sir, before we move on?
Well, just a great day. Good stuff. I mean, around here, at least the flowers around. It's a good, spring kind of time and a pretty day.
Really. All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure if Kurt believes in Christ, though. He didn't say a single word about that, you know.
I think you already said all that.
I know, but there's supposed to be two witnesses to everything, my friend.
Okay, well, I echo what you have to say there.
All right, good. Yeah. Just want to make sure, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let's get our third witness. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. Welcome back, my friend.
Good to be here, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
What do you think of my thoughts on calling it Resurrection Day?
Well, I love them, Sam. Definitely Resurrection Day. You know, my thoughts on that turn to a story from his life right after his resurrection. Remember the two disciples that were on their one-day journey from one place to another, and they were talking. They were so disappointed that he had been crucified, and obviously that was weighing heavily on their minds, and they were talking with each other, and of course Christ appeared and walked with them, although they couldn't discern him. They didn't know it was him, and they were saying to him, we trusted that he was going to redeem us and save Israel, right? I mean, they used trusted in the past tense as though, well, he came and gone. I guess he wasn't the one. And yet he was the one. He did redeem Israel. And I think that's a great story to use in the context of citizen activists and those who are loyal to the law of liberty and to the Savior, those who truly understand liberty and are fighting for it in today's troubled times. Even though we lose a battle from time to time, we're going to win this war, but we have to keep fighting. We can't get disappointed. We can't become discouraged to the point of giving up. We have to keep fighting one day after another, day after day, week after week, one life after another. That's what resurrection reminds me of on this Easter weekend, Sam.
Amen to that. And one of the things to really contemplate, as I mentioned in my beginning monologue here, he led no army. He led no grand military, but he was the great conqueror. He conquered his foes in so many ways by leading with love and kindness. He was also known as the Prince of Peace. But at the same time, he conquered death and he lives. And so I told my kids, I've got grown children, so their spouses were over here and grandkids and everything. And we had a big old Easter dinner. And I told them I want to preach a big old long ripping sermon, man. And they got all ready and everybody sat around and I told them it was going to be long and be prepared. And then I delivered my sermon, which was four words. I testify he lives. And then I told them, I want you to think about my four-word sermon. I want you to write it down. I testify he lives. And then I want you to think about what that means. On one hand, it's so short, you think, haha, that was really neat, Sam. But on the other hand, if you contemplate what that really means, I testify he lives, you begin to teach yourself your own sermon. If you have a background as a follower of Jesus Christ or a disciple, pretty soon you say, that really means that Sam has a testimony of the risen Lord. That really means that Sam's willing to tell others about his testimony. He's so convinced. That means that, well, if he lives, that he did die on a cross, that he was resurrected, that he is capable of letting us all live again. That means that, you know what? All the promises of Jesus Christ are real. And what that means is if we keep his promises and we're willing, keep his commandments and accept his promises on faith, on trust, as you wisely point out, this trust will let you live with him one day. And so many things become real. It's almost like one of those simple duh phrases, but when you really start to contemplate what that means. So if you're my son or daughter or my son or daughter-in-law, it means that, you know what, your father-in-law has faith in Christ and uses that belief in Christ and that he lives as a guide, as a governing value for his life. And if you're a grandchild or whatever, there's so much said in those four words. And so I said, I want you to write that down. And I really want you to spend time thinking about what I've said, because at first it just sounds so simple. It's like, yeah, great. But when you really decide to think about it, pray about it, ponder about it, maybe when you read the scriptures, think about, I testify he lives. What does that mean? What does that entail? And so hopefully they'll teach themselves their own sermons off my four words. Anyway, I say to all of you, my listeners, who I consider family, friends, loved ones, the great American people who believe in Christ, I testify he lives. And he did it without an army, folks. It was incredible. Speaking of that, we got a ratcheted up military under Donald Trump. Donald Trump talked dovish. He walks hawkish, to say the least. And we got to ask ourselves, we have the greatest military in the world. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's great news. But you got to step back for a second and ask yourself, Lowell, what is the purpose of the military? And that's a question that you emailed me that we want to talk about today, sir.
That's right, Sam. Today is a day of seemingly endless wars, right? I mean, wars and rumors of wars. We knew that these were typifying the last days. We have a war on poverty. We have a war on drugs. We have a war on terror. And it's that war on terror, I suppose, that's catching the most attention in the headlines today. Former U.S. President George W. Bush talked about this war on terror way back in 2001, just days after the World Trade Center bombing on September 11th. Just 9 days later, September 20, in a speech, he said, it, meaning the war on terror, will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated, end of quote.
Which means he's committing us to war forever, sir.
Forever, yeah. I mean, what's the likelihood of? I mean, there's no possibility ever of finding out every terrorist group, stopping them and defeating them, you know. And until the day when all mankind are united in love and peace, you know, this is not going to happen. I mean, and so he committed the nation to this war. To an endless war. It's just sad that that's what's happened, but that is what's happened, and because of that, the military has now become a central feature of American life. We see it on TV, we see it on the news, on the radio and television. We're constantly reminded of war. We see it in the heart-wrenching photos, the video images of soldiers returning home from long deployments in the Middle East or elsewhere, wounded veterans struggling to cope with their new physical handicaps. I mean, it's all over. It's everywhere, Sam, and I want to talk about why that is and really what the true purpose of the military is.
And we're going the wrong direction because we're getting more and more of it. Donald talked dovish, walks hawkish, to say the least. Lowell Nelson in seconds.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this'll work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. But, you know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us, too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Savior Jesus Christ lives. Resurrection Day, ladies and gentlemen. He has risen. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. I testify, he lives. We're talking about what is the purpose of the military. With all this incredible military power America has, what principles should govern its use, Lowell?
Thank you, Sam. The first 150 years of America, Sam, the military was not conspicuous. You know, except for the 4 years or 5 years or so, 4 years of the Civil War, you know, the military simply wasn't in the consciousness of our country. In other words, America had virtually had no permanent professional military at all, and certainly nothing on the scale of the vast professional armies and navies fielded by the great old world imperial powers such as Great Britain, France, and Germany, right? And not having a conspicuous military was no accident, Sam. Our founders, the framers of our Constitution, the founders of our country, were deeply suspicious of standing armies. They knew that standing armies could become weapons of tyranny and oppression and not defenses of liberty. So, in the Constitution, they made things very difficult for the army. In Article 1, Section 8, as you know, they said all appropriations, not just some, but all appropriations for the Army would be for a period no longer than 2 years. And why 2 years? Well, that would mirror the cycle by which the House in Congress would be elected. In other words, it would be answerable to the people directly every 2 years. And if your congressman voted for war and you didn't think that he should, that the country should be committed to war, you would replace that congressman. So, in other words, every 2 years at least, Congress would have to appropriate money to the military, and thus the framers hoped to prevent the establishment and the maintenance of a permanent military or a standing army. But in practice today, Sam, you can probably count on your fingers and toes the number of congressmen who consistently oppose unnecessary military appropriations. I remember the days when Ron Paul was the only one, or when Larry McDonald was the only one consistently voting against military appropriations. And because so few members of Congress truly understand the dangers of growing and sustaining a standing army, the U.S. military has become by far the largest, the most powerful the world has ever seen. We spend, on average, Sam, more every year than the next 10 largest militaries combined, and that includes Russia and China. So the U.S. has the world's largest navy by far and one of the largest standing armies. Now, we don't have the most numerous, I mean, we don't have the most people in an army, but we have probably the most powerful army. And so the reason I wanted to talk about this, Sam, was because of an article in the New American written by Charles Scaliger. And I want to quote him right here. He says, quote, "The destructive power of the U.S. military has been on display in the many wars fought by American forces since the mid-20th century." That's like from 1950 forward. "Today, the United States boasts a gigantic nuclear force that possesses a fearsome array of other weapons, including conventional bombs nearly as powerful as small nukes, space-based guidance systems for bombs and missiles, aircraft that can fly more than twice the speed of sound, submarine-launched cruise missiles for which no defense has been devised, and much more." End of quote. And then he asked Sam the all-important question, with all of this military power, what principles should govern its use? And then he answers the question, as I answer it right now, the primary use of any military should always be defensive.
Now, let me stop you there and say, though, that would be any moral military. And the reason that I bring that up is because, look, you've got to tether yourself to God's law, to moral principle, and if you don't, then you know what? You can justify all kinds of false, perverted, warmongering, hawkish uses for the greatest military capability in the world. The only way you don't is if you take a moral pro-life view based on God's laws, right?
That's right. And Ron Paul talked about this a great deal during his campaigns in the last decade, about just war theory, right? And the just war theory is based on the Christian principle that you just explained, and that you do it to defend your life, liberty, and property. You don't do it to conquer other people, other nations, or to impose your way of life or your perspective on them through the barrel of a gun. That's antithetical, right? I mean, isn't it hypocritical for us to tout liberty and to promote freedom and then try to force those ideals on another country with the barrel of a gun? It just makes no sense. And so,
But it makes sense if you don't care about the laws of God, because that's where power and control is, lol.
Yeah, that's probably true. You know, seeing this through God's eyes, I think, would bring a whole different tone to nations throughout the world if they would look at their fellow men as brothers and sisters instead of as enemies to conquer. You know, the framers were opposed to this notion of conquest, of subjugating other nations. They did not want to immerse themselves in the broils of Europe or elsewhere. I love that word, the broils, the broils of Europe. Because they had no moral standing to take sides in quarrels that were really none of their business. And I like that phrase, too, none of their business. If we were to embrace a military policy like that, our world would truly be much different. In other words, is the civil war in Syria, Sam, really any of our business? Does it make sense?
Well, and by the way, it's not our business if we're going to basically up the ante and declare unjust wars or prevent from declaring a war, but engage in unjust hostilities. But it is our business if we pray for them, if we turn to the Prince of Peace and pray for them and teach them how to live peacefully with one another by example.
Now, there you have a good point. Absolutely. Of course, you always have a good point
there. And I bring that up because there are things that we can do. A lot of people want to run around and act like we're just, you know, horrible people. We're callous. We don't care. We're isolationists. We're this, we're that. Okay, all that's nothing but a satanic effort to marginalize us. The truth is there's plenty that we can do for them. And it is our business to be our brother's keeper and our sister's keeper, to care for them and to bring relief and comfort and guidance and stability and safety and set the example for solutions. Absolutely. But the question is it our business to up the ante on war?
Right. And Ron Paul pointed this out many times on the campaign trail that he said, look at Vietnam. That was a war-torn country in the 70s and 80s. And look at it today. Well, it's a bustling economy, vigorous, robust economy. How did it get that way? Well, by trading with other nations, by being friendly and open with other nations. The United States trades a great deal with Vietnam nowadays. And look at that. We're friends with them. We're happy to trade goods with them. They have wonderful exports. We buy a ton of their stuff, and they purchase goods from us. That is really the way to help people who are under the hand of oppression throughout the world. And I like your approach, Sam, that we pray for them. We try to do business with them. We try to trade with them. That is the real way that we can help them establish liberty and enjoy the blessings of liberty in their own land.
We can teach them about the Prince of Peace. We can set the example of love and kindness. We can lead and take them under our wing in a way that promotes the principles that made America great. We can make Vietnam great again, too. And we do it by our greatest free export. That is the supreme law of our land, that it's not a democracy, Lowell.
You're right. And, you know, Woodrow Wilson was probably the biggest turning point in the changing of the word republic to democracy. He plunged us into World War I in the name of promoting democracy abroad. Well, apparently he was ignorant of the fact, Sam, that America is really not and was not a democracy. It's a republic. But advancing democracy has been the justification for U.S. invasions of Haiti, Panama, Iraq, Korea, Vietnam, and many other countries over the past five or six, seven decades.
And if you want proof in the pudding, when they go to war in Vietnam, they kind of call it a war, but not really. When they go to war in Iraq, they kind of call it a war, but not really. But then after the fact, when we look at history, they unequivocally call it a war.
Yeah, they call it a police action in Korea, right, in the 1950s. It's a police action. It's not a war. Therefore, we don't need to go to Congress to authorize, you know, to secure or get a declaration of war.
But in hindsight, they call it the Korean War.
Yeah, they do.
See, that just shows their deception, ladies and gentlemen. There are answers. We need to turn inward and really look at America and say, how do we become followers of the Prince of Peace? That's what our founders did. That's what we've got to do. Other topics domestically in seconds with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Brad Gibson. TheHill.com sees a growing trend of dissatisfaction among conservative groups in the nation as President Trump reverses one campaign promise after another. Brent Bozell, the chairman of For America, a conservative advocacy group, has written to his supporters that conservative leaders are putting Trump on notice to stick to his campaign promises or they'll be held to pay in the midterm elections. Demonstrating how the Washington establishment absorbs former conservatives and turns them into an establishment hack, CIA Director Mike Pompeo took the opportunity in his first speech as director to blast WikiLeaks as a purveyor of intelligence hostile to the U.S. Pompeo used to be a fan of WikiLeaks until he became an insider. Now he's a defender of all the CIA secrets, including its numerous illegal dark side operations. Sadly, Pompeo fails to admit that WikiLeaks attacks the U.S. because it lies so often about its pure motives and adherence to law. It is the CIA that is working against American values, not WikiLeaks. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When it comes to books, videos, health food, and natural products, please do business with the good guys today. Phone-in orders available by calling 877-817-9829 or purchase online at thepowermall.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Brad Gibson.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Kirk Crosby, Sam Bushman, and Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio, breaking it down like no other, ladies and gentlemen. We stand for God, family, and country. Nobody's as bold in these defenses as we are, folks. We understand the supreme law of the land, and we want to return to it. We can make America great again, but it's not going to happen unless you point to the moral principles that made America great in the first place. Donald does a lot of good, folks. Let's give him credit where credit's due, but he's also melting down on so many points because he doesn't have the moral compass necessary to literally understand how to make America great. He wants to so badly. Maybe. Maybe. But no matter what, he doesn't know how. We can help him, but he won't let us surround him. He's got all kinds of hawkish generals running around taking us into unjust wars like you've never seen. It's tragic, ladies and gentlemen. But you got to ask yourself, what is the purpose, the proper role of the military? Ladies and gentlemen, with all this military power, what principles should govern the military? And the answer is sound principles found in the supreme law, replete with its checks and balances. Principles of a moral nature based on God's law. We must not proactively, offensively engage. The U.S. military, ladies and gentlemen, in the United States is by far become the largest and most powerful the world has ever seen. In fact, we spend more money on the military than the next 10 largest militaries combined, including Russia and China, not to mention North Korea. I mean, it's out of control. And then North Korea decides they're going to test a missile. They claim it's defensive. I don't believe them because they threaten America all the time. However, we say that's an act of provocation. But then we run around and drop bombs on countries while we're saying other nations are involved in provocations? What? Ladies and gentlemen, the primary use of any moral military should always be defensive. Let's pull back from the 150 countries that we're involved in and have a strong defense for the freest country in the history of the world and teach other countries to do the same. All right, turning domestic, ladies and gentlemen, sad day in Utah. Asset forfeiture reform failed in Utah once again. You say, Sam, what is civil asset forfeiture? It is really asset confiscation under the guise of government. It enables governments to, quote, legally, I call it legalized plunder, steal your property without charging you with a crime or convicting you of anything. I don't know why on earth we can't reject this in America, and especially in one of the most, in my opinion, conservative states in the union. And every time we bring this up, they just can't, I'm going to say it one more time, they just can't seem to obey the simple principle, thou shalt not steal. Lol?
Well put, Sam. You know, in the year 2000, that was just 17 years ago, the citizens of Utah, by initiative, passed, forfeiture reform. Basically, they said, we will not do forfeiture in the state of Utah. And within two to five years, the legislature had reversed that initiative, and within 10 years, it just entirely turned it on its head. And so now we're stuck with asset forfeiture again in the state of Utah. And it is just what you said it is, legal plunder, gives the government a way to legally take your property, that which is not theirs, violate God's commandment that you should not steal, thou shalt not steal. And it's a violation of the Fifth Amendment, which I want to read a part of. No person shall be deprived of property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. That was a quote directly from the Fifth Amendment. And yet, asset confiscation occurs routinely in Utah and in most other states. There are two states, I might say, Nebraska and New Mexico, who have eliminated civil forfeiture. Prosecutors in those states may pursue forfeiture only in criminal court. And so, you know, that's a standard we should shoot for, and all states should shoot for, really. Now, there's other states, such as Montana, Nevada, Minnesota, California, and so forth, that require prosecutors to obtain a criminal conviction before confiscating the individual's property. So my hat's off to those states as well. So here I've named half a dozen states where prosecutors have to obtain a criminal conviction before they can confiscate individuals' property. And yes, I understand crime should not pay. If you steal $1,000, then that money should be returned to the person from whom it was stolen, and the thief should be punished appropriately. That's fine. I'm perfectly fine with that.
And by the way, though, that can be done after due process.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And but the current state of affairs is right now is that they simply arrest you, and if they find $1,000 on you at the time they arrest you, they will confiscate that $1,000, and you may never see that again, Sam. You may never see that money again, even though that $1,000 was yours, was lawfully your money, and we'll talk about that in just a second. I just want to mention that in Utah, we've had for 2 years running now a bill that would reform asset forfeiture laws in Utah. It passed the House this year, it passed the House last year, but in both years, that bill died in the Senate Judiciary Committee. They just refused to move it forward. Why? Well, probably because the legal standard is lower in civil cases than in criminal cases. In other words, it's harder for prosecutors to convict in a criminal case than it is in a civil case, because the standard of evidence is much higher in a criminal case, right? It's like,
yeah, that's right.
You have to have clear and convincing evidence, or without a doubt, or something like that, as opposed to in a civil case, it's like the preponderance of the evidence. So
I can break it down in one word, why, and the answer is booty, and I'm not talking about a female.
Money for the law enforcement.
Money and assets, though.
Yep. It turns out that in Utah, I'm going to get into a few figures here, but these are interesting figures. 97.5% of all forfeiture cases pertained to alleged narcotic violations, going back to this war on drugs. In other words, civil asset forfeiture is a major tool in the so-called war on drugs. However, forfeiture is rarely used to confiscate property from cartel operators and these drug kingpins. Three-fourths of the cases are worth less than $5,000. In fact, Sam, the median value of forfeited property in Utah is $1,324. Right? $1,300.
In other words, and by the way, they know this, though. They're not taking away big property from drug kingpins or escalating drug activity by cartels and or other large groups that are gaining assets and capabilities. They're letting that go. What they're doing is they're attacking the individual. They're using it as a revenue-generating source for black ops of government and military combined with police work. They're doing it because they know full well as long as they keep that number under a certain limit, there'll never be any way to stop them.
Right, because a person, in order to recover that $1,300, is going to have to spend several thousand dollars on an attorney just to get it back. And so,
yeah, I've talked to attorneys about this, and they say it's about 10 times. So if you want to get your $1,300 back, count on $13,000.
Wow. So if you're a property owner, you're not going to spend $10,000 to get back $1,000. It just doesn't make any economic sense at whatsoever. And so in the state,
well, yeah, but what if you're the federal government, Lowell? Then they would spend that money. I mean, in a heartbeat. But at least the American individuals can figure out that that's a stupid idea.
Yeah, good point, Sam. Good point, Kurt. Yeah, only 13% of forfeiture cases in Utah have resulted in the return of some of the property, and thus 2/3 of the cases in Utah. Since records began being kept in 2015, so like in the last year or so, in 2/3 of the cases, the property owner does not even try to get his property back.
Because they know with a tyrannical government, it's a lost cause. There's no justice in America unless you have big money. And sad to say, that seems to be too often the reality. And what it takes to stop that is Americans to stand up and be counted. And again, we got to push this. We got to reject asset forfeiture. It's evil. Now, there's a group that's done some of the greatest work on this, too, Lowell, that we got to highlight.
You're exactly right, Sam, and that's the Libertas Institute in Utah. Libertas is spelled Libertas, L-I-B-E-R-T-A-S, Libertas Institute. They have a summary of this issue in their policy guide, which is available at libertasutah.org. And I want to quote from their policy brief. They say this: the true villain in the reform effort, therefore, is the prosecutor who desires civil asset forfeiture as a convenient procedure by which property can be taken by the government without having to meet the legal burden required in the criminal process. Neither professional incompetence nor convenience justify the perpetuation of a law that unfairly violates property rights and due process.
Amen to that. LibertasUtah.org, the website. Sam, Kurt, and Lowell back in seconds. Liberty Roundtable live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio. By the way, this half hour is brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. Get a hold of Kirk to learn more. It tastes phenomenal. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or smile and dial 801-669-2211 and say, Kurt, I'd love raw honey delivered to my door, and he'll take great care of you. And by the way, if you're a member of GiveMeLibertyFund.com, he'll even give you incredible discounts just for being a member. Check it out, GiveMeLibertyFund.com, and then get a hold of Kurt Crosby and get raw honey delivered directly to your door. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Lowell Nelson's with us. So the negative news is we're promoting war big time. The negative news is we've got asset forfeiture on steroids across the country, stealing people's private property left and right without due process of law. It's horrible. However, there are good news focuses, folks, and here they are. Number one, the Libertas Institute is doing a great job in Utah to really highlight and focus on this and rally the troops to stand against asset forfeiture. All right? And if you want to learn more about it, go to LibertasUtah.org. Now, that's interesting. It's Libertas, L-I-B-E-R-T-A-S, Utah.org. And let's make this very clear. The reason we focus so much about this in Utah is because we have the best handle on it. But we've got an example that can be duplicated across the country for your state, your local municipality. Your county sheriff can literally get educated on this and help stop it, folks. But it's going to take your leadership, your guidance, your support to get this done. We need you to get involved. Call your congressmen and senators and say, don't let Donald engage in unconstitutional, unjust, immoral wars. And then call your state folks and say, hey, man, you got to get out of this asset forfeiture stuff. It's bogus. Then you got to call your county sheriff and say, can I sit down with you? I got something important to talk about. There are ways for the American people to make a difference, folks. And speaking of people that are making a difference and providing appropriate leadership, you got Senator Rand Paul in the Senate, and you got Representative Tim Walberg in the House. Lowell?
Senator Rand Paul introduced what he called the FAIR Act, which is an acronym, stands for Fifth Amendment Integrity Restoration.
And it's Senate Bill 642.
Right. The House equivalent, sponsored by Tim Walberg from Michigan or Minnesota, one of the two, is H.R. 155. This bill restores the Fifth Amendment due process protections to the process of civil asset forfeiture theft. Dr. Paul said, quote, the federal government has made it far too easy for government agencies to take and profit from the property of those who have not been convicted of a crime. The FAIR Act will protect Americans' Fifth Amendment rights from being infringed upon by ensuring that government agencies no longer profit from taking the property of U.S. citizens without due process. It guards against abuse while maintaining the ability of courts to order the surrender of proceeds of crime, end of quote. And Tim Walberg follows that up with this. He says, over the past few years, we've seen a wave of stories where the government unjustly seized property from innocent Americans without charging them with a crime. These types of abuses of civil asset forfeiture laws should be a clarion call to reform the system and uphold the constitutional rights of the American people. And that's why I'm committed to championing the FAIR Act, which includes comprehensive and bipartisan reforms to limit the scope of the government's forfeiture powers and protect the individual rights.
So, it would only be fair to do that, Lowell.
Yeah, it would only be fair. Among other things, the FAIR Act eliminates the equitable sharing program. And this is the thing that Kurt mentioned earlier. Oftentimes the feds will, you know, even in the states, like I mentioned, like Nebraska, that prohibit the state from doing asset forfeiture, what happens, the feds will swoop in and they'll actually run the operation. They will take the property. civil asset forfeiture. We don't do that here in our state, but what they do, they get kickbacks from the feds. They let the feds come in, run the operation, and then get kickbacks. And so the FAIR Act would put a stop to that. You know,
and that's thou shalt not bear false witness again with the thou shalt not steal reality, because they're acting like it's not happening, but they know full well they're in partnership to make it happen.
Exactly. This restores the principle of innocence until proven guilty, requires clear and convincing evidence, protects the right to counsel, removes the profit incentive, right? I mean, that's the big incentive. Law enforcement is incentivized to do asset forfeiture because they get the proceeds of whatever they confiscate. I mean, it's a perverse incentive, Sam, and the FAIR Act would eliminate that incentive. It goes on and does a number of other things which are notable and laudable. And I urge you to call your senator, urge them to support Senate Bill 642, call your call your EOS representative and urge them to support House Bill 155. They are championing this effort to reform asset forfeiture laws in America today, and we need your help to make it happen. Sam?
Boy, do we need your help to make it happen, ladies and gentlemen. Understand these issues are so closely tied together. The FreedomCoalition.com, we're working on freeing innocents in prison and caring for prisoners. This same violation of due process that stealing people's property is the same violation of due process that's putting people, innocent people in prison, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what we really got to focus on. And the problem is there's just so many difficult discussions to have, and it's really hard to get people on focus when it comes to these issues. But folks, we must work together to make a difference on this critical, critical issue. All right, Senator Rand Paul and Representative Tim Walberg introduce what's called the FAIR Act in Congress. Please support, ladies and gentlemen, Senate Bill 642 and House Bill H.R. 155. You've got to help us with this. And let me give you an example. There's proper leadership being brought to bear here. You got Rand Paul and Representative Tim Walberg providing the leadership here. They see the problem. They've articulated the problem. They put bills together to mitigate it, to deal with it. Now we at Liberty Roundtable Live jump on board. We're airing this, bringing it to your attention, making sure you're aware. What we need is a greater presence in the media. What we need is more Americans to jump on board with us. If it was a rallying cry, Trump couldn't ignore it. If people put their money, their mouth, their time, their efforts where this needs to be, we could literally gain ground on this. But here's my suspicion. What will happen is the leadership, meaning Rand Paul and Tim Walberg, will stand up. We'll put it out there. Sam and Kurt and Lowell and crew at Liberty Roundtable Live will bust out and tell the tale and support their efforts. But then what will happen is there'll be a vacuum. And we won't have enough clout to really make a difference. We'll be just the marginalized minority. Our issues will be drowned out by the war drumbeat, drowned out by scandal on every side. And then what will happen is the issue will languish and then die, and it'll just get worse. The only solution is for enough Americans to decide that this is critical, Lowell.
Well put, Sam. Thank you for putting that in such plain terms. Nobody can misunderstand what you just said.
But in this, by the way, are the seeds for solution, Lowell. Let's be clear about that. That's why we highlight it.
It's Solutions Radio, Sam, as you have often said. I love that term. This is Solutions Radio. And oftentimes, Sam, I'm on your program. I often ask people to do something, to be activists, to make phone calls, to talk to the Congress and so forth. But the last item today, Sam, is a little bit different. I want to give your listeners an opportunity to learn from some of the finest and wisest practitioners in the health movement. And I cite the website of Dr. David Christopher, the son of the famous Dr. Christopher, and his website is herballegacy.com. And you can go to that website, herballegacy.com. And you can sign up for his emails, and if you do that, you'll get an email from him every week. Once a week, you get this email. And the major part of every email is talking about a health tip or a health symptom or, you know, maybe a disease symptom you can solve with herbs or something like that. Now, there's a lot of people that think this is really quackery, and I understand that for a lot of people this might seem really kind of weird, but I grew up in a home on a farm, on a ranch in the mountains of Idaho, and I grew up eating off the land, Sam, where...
Well, Lowell, one thing you have to remember on this whole idea is people are typically down on what they're not up on. And, you know, that applies to so many things. And if you're just not aware of it, you know, you think, well, that can't work. But, you know, the bottom line is, hey, open your mind and look at the situation, right?
Yeah, and this is all based on John Christopher, Dr. John Christopher's research. David Christopher, his son, has carried on his work since the original Dr. Christopher passed away. But the website to check out is herballegacy.com. Now, believe it or not, David Christopher also does a radio program. Why it's not on Liberty News Radio is beyond me. But again, the problem is there's just too many things to work on, and the only way it'll happen is if I get out, you know, drop everything I'm doing and call David Christopher and work on it, you know.
You got to quit watching so much TV, Tim.
Oh, I know it. I fall asleep in front of the TV just like Kurt every night. It's great.
Yeah.
Not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, A Healthier You is David Christopher's radio program. AhealthierYouRadio.com is the website for that as well. Tremendous stuff. Lowell, continue, sir.
Right. Thank you. For instance, I just got a toothache last Thursday night, Sam. It was too late to get in to a dentist, and so what did I do? Well, I buzzed up some garlic and apple cider vinegar, added some honey and water, and that is one of the best antibiotics you can make. It's better than anything on the market, and right now I am feeling great, Sam. So go to this website, herballegacy.com. You'll get new ideas, new information, and you too can be up on what's working for you in the health, in the herbal industry.
And by the way, folks, we don't make a penny for this. We just want to give you solutions everywhere. AhealthierYouRadio.com and herballegacy.com. Don't fall for the mistake to be down on what you're not up on. Kurt's spot on that, folks. I'm just telling you right now, some of the brightest minds on your radio always. This is LibertyRoundTable.com. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, will you help? This nation shall endure.